Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back on a Monday night, 6:33 in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Well, death. We're all going to face it, but in some very different ways. And who knows more about the process of dying than doctors? That's why an article in the Wall Street Journal about how doctors deal with the inevitable end is garnering a lot of interest, so much so that it remains firmly on the WSJ.com list of most popular articles. The author, Dr. Ken Murray, a retired clinical assistant professor of family medicine at the University of Southern California, joins me now to tell me more about it. Ken, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I guess this is like taking a look at the types of repairs that auto mechanics prefer to make on their vehicles before simply replacing them.
You got it exactly right.
Now, you start the article by talking about Charlie. It's a highly respected orthopedist. He was your mentor. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and even with a procedure that was available that could have tripled his 5-year survival odds, he decided not to bother. Why was that?
Well, what Charlie knew and all doctors would have known at the time was that the treatment at that time, which was now, well, perhaps 20 years ago, even though a person might survive, that the existence that they would experience was terrible. It was, in fact, the most complicated surgical procedure that we do in medicine, called a Whipple procedure, and it leaves a person as a diabetic with all kinds of tremendous problems. And my experience with those patients has been that they lead a fairly miserable existence. And Charlie knew that.
This kind of knowledge, is this something doctors are encouraged not to share with their patients?
No, it's the opposite of that. And we not only are encouraged, but we ethically have a responsibility to share this information with them. Unfortunately, there are a number of things that interfere with that process. One is I find that when people are particularly caught in the shock of a potentially terminal diagnosis such as cancer, they develop a hearing problem, and we may say things and they just don't hear them. And that ends up being a real problem. I'll also say that some physicians are not as good as they could be at conveying information in understandable language, and that oftentimes makes things difficult to understand.
I guess just to clarify then, are you saying physicians will actually tell a patient, you know, this procedure is available, but you may want to opt to simply not go ahead with it because of the consequences to your quality of life?
That's what they should do.
I see. So what about, though, I mean, isn't malpractice a major concern? I mean, they certainly don't want a situation where the family then is upset that that their loved one decided not to prolong their life with a procedure, right?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And that starts to be an issue when there's a conflict between different family members. And I'm sorry to say that that is a common scenario. We typically talk about, cousin Joe, who hasn't seen the patient in 20 years and lives overseas and dramatically flies in to save the day. And everybody who has been involved with the patient for years knows that they want a relatively unaggressive course and to focus on dignity and comfort. And cousin Joe says, no, we need to do everything possible. And statements such as, you don't want to kill mom, do you, get said. And the guilt that is generated is just enormous.
I'm talking to Dr. Ken Murray, a retired clinical assistant professor of family medicine at the University of Southern California. You can find his article on how doctors face death right now on Wall Street Journal at WSJ.com. So you say that the patients, they stop, they lose their ability to hear when a doctor describes the option of not pursuing treatment. Do we have a nationwide problem of pursuing last minute end of life treatments that really we should not be doing?
I think a bigger problem that we have is not really having a careful talk with patients about what their desires are. I can speak from my own experience practicing, which was that I typically held this conversation with new patients who were not having any kind of problem when they came in to see me, who were, let's say, over the age of 50, and said, you know, what would you want done if something terrible happened? What would you want me to do? And I was very careful about documenting that. Now, some patients thought that was, you know, an odd question to be asking them when there's nothing wrong with them and I've never met them before. But when I explained what my purpose was, most of them were actually grateful for the chance to express their wishes.
You note in the article that 64% of doctors have created an advanced directive specifying the steps that should or should not be taken to save their lives. That compares to only about 20% for the general public. So for most of us, I guess we don't even know that we could create such a list. I mean, is that simply the case that people come in and every option is pursued to make sure someone does not die?
Well, that does happen. And it is a shame if people don't realize that they have this option. We've had laws passed in, I think, virtually every state in the union that now requires when people come into a hospital, they have to be asked whether they have an advance directive or some similar document, a living will, and if not, be offered the chance to fill one out so they can express their wishes. I'm not sure that that's always followed, and I'm not sure that patients always understand what they're being asked about.
I mean, we hear about being unplugged from life support, that kind of a thing. But tell me, what are the types of things that doctors would prefer not to have to endure and just simply say, you know what, let me go instead when it comes to these kind of emergency procedures?
One would be being placed on a breathing machine, what we call a ventilator, sometimes called a respirator. When you're, I'm not talking about when you've got some reversible problem, but when you're truly facing the end of life, and it's just a matter of a short period of time, we know that if we put a person on a ventilator, they will never get off, and it's a one-way street. So we're really not buying them any time. Plus, when you're on a ventilator, for the most part, you have to be sedated. Because it's an extremely uncomfortable thing to have a machine breathing for you. So a person is generally not conscious when they're on a machine. So I'm not sure that you could talk in terms of any kind of quality of life or even awareness for most situations. Another example would be dialysis. When a person is having kidney failure, once again, if they've got a terminal process that's going to end reasonably quickly, going on to dialysis is nonsensical to most of us. When a person is having kidney failure, what will end up happening is they will gradually descend into a coma, which is a pretty peaceful way to go, as opposed to being hooked up with tubes and getting stuck continuously to have blood pumped in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a comparison of what the options are.
So what do doctors then usually do with the time they have left? Do they kind of do a bucket list, do some of the things they'd like to do with the last, let's say, months of their life?
I think that's exactly what happens.
And I know another aspect was they prepare. I mean, they prepare in terms of they put their finances in order and so on and spend time with their family, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to do all those things. Now, if we go back to the example of Charlie, the surgical procedure that we're talking about, 20% of the people didn't survive the operation. So you're basically tossing the dice for a 1 in 5 chance that you won't even be able to say goodbye to your family and have, you know, that opportunity to put things in order. So it's problematic, and I think most of us feel that we'd want that opportunity to get our affairs in order and feel like we're, you know, dotting the period at the end of the sentence of our lives.
Well, it's certainly something to think about, and since we're all going to be facing this inevitable end. Dr. Ken Murray, retired clinical assistant professor of family medicine at USC. You can find his article on how doctors deal with death at WSJ.com. That's the Wall Street Journal website, right there among the most popular articles. Dr. Murray, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much.